Sriyamsi tatra kalu sattvata non rinamsu. Somebody else? Sattvam rajastama iti prakrite gunastai. Prakrite gunastai yukta para purusha eka ihasya datte sthitadaye hari virinchi hariti sangya. Sattvam, goodness, Rajaha, passion, Tamaha, the darkness of ignorance, Iti, thus, Prakrite, of the material nature, Guna, qualities, Tai, by them, Yukta, associated with, Para, transcendental, Purushaha, the personality, Ekaha, one, Iha Asya, of this material world, Dhatte, accepts, Stiti Adhaya, for the matter of creation, maintenance, and destruction, etc. Hari, Vishnu, the personality of Godhead, Virinchi, Brahma, Hara, Lord Shiva, Iti, thus, Samgya, different features, Sriyamsi, ultimate benefit, Tatra, therein, Kalu, of course, Sattva, goodness, Tano, form, Rinam, of the human being, through derived. Translation and purport by His Divine Loving Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The transcendental personality of Godhead is indirectly associated with the three modes of material nature, namely passion, goodness, and ignorance. And just for the material world's creation, maintenance, and destruction, He accepts the three qualitative forms of Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. Of these three, all human beings can derive ultimate benefit from Vishnu, the form of the quality of goodness. Purport. That Lord Sri Krishna, by His plenary path, should be rendered devotional service, as explained above, is confirmed by this statement. Lord Sri Krishna and all His plenary paths are Vishnu Tattva, or the lordships of Godhead. From Sri Krishna, the next manifestation is Baladev. From Baladev is Shankarshan. From Shankarshan is Narayan. From Narayan there is the second Shankarshan. And from this Shankarshan, the Vishnu Purush avatar. The Vishnu, or the deity of the quality of goodness in the material world, is the Purush avatar known as Shirodakshaya Vishnu, or Paramatma. Brahma is the deity of Rajas, passion, and Shiva for ignorance. They are the three departmental heads of the three qualities of this material world. Creation is made possible by the goodness of Vishnu. And when it requires to be destroyed, Lord Vishnu does it by the Tandava Nritya. The materialist and the foolish human beings worship Brahma and Shiva respectively. But the pure transcendentalists worship the form of goodness, Vishnu, in His various forms. Vishnu is manifested by His millions and billions of integrated forms and separated forms. The integrated forms are called Godhead, and the separated forms are called the living entities, or the jivas. Both the jivas and the Godhead have their original spiritual forms. Jivas are sometimes subject to the control of material energy, but the Vishnu forms are always controllers of this energy. When Vishnu, the personality of Godhead, appears in the material world, He comes to deliver the conditioned living beings who are under the material energy. Such living beings appear in the material world with the intentions of being lords, and thus they have become entrapped by the three modes of nature. As such, the living entities have to change their material coverings for undergoing different terms of imprisonment. The prison house of the material world is created by Brahma under instruction of the personality of Godhead. And at the conclusion of a kalpa, the whole thing is destroyed by Shiva. But as far as maintenance of the prison house is concerned, it is done by Vishnu, as much as the state prison house is maintained by the state. Anyone, therefore, who wishes to get out of this prison house of material existence, which is full of miseries like repetition of birth, death, disease, and old age, must please Lord Vishnu for such liberation. Lord Vishnu is worshipped by devotional service only. And if anyone has to continue prison life in this material world, he may ask for relative facilities for temporary relief from the different demigods like Shiva, Brahma, Indra, and Varun. No demigods, however, can release the imprisoned living being from the conditioned life of material existence. This can be done only by Vishnu. Therefore, the ultimate benefit may be derived from Vishnu, the personality of Godhead. We'll also read text number 34. Bhavatyesha sattvena lokan vai loka bhavanah lilavataranu rato deva tiryan naradishu. Thus the Lord of the universe maintains all planets inhabited by demigods, men, and lower animals. Assuming the roles of incarnations, He performs pastimes to reclaim those in the mode of pure goodness. So maybe somebody can read the purport.
We have a mic. There are innumerable material universes, and in each and every universe there are innumerable planets inhabited by different grades of living entities in different modes of nature. The Lord Vishnu incarnates Himself in each and every one of them and in each and every type of living society. He manifests His transcendental pastimes amongst them just to create the desire to go back to Godhead. The Lord does not change His original transcendental position, but He appears to be differently manifested according to the particular time, circumstances, and society.
Sometimes he incarnates himself or empowers a suitable living being to act for him. But in either case, the purpose is the same. The Lord wants the suffering living being to go back home, back to Godhead. The happiness which the living beings are hankering for is not to be found within any chord of the innumerable universes and material planets. The eternal happiness which the living being wants is obtainable in the kingdom of God, but the forgetful living beings under the influence of the material modes have no information of the kingdom of God. The Lord therefore comes to propagate the message of the kingdom of God, either personally as an incarnation or through his bona fide representative as a good son of God. Such incarnations or sons of God are not making propaganda for going home back to Godhead, only within human society. Their work is also going on in all types of societies among demigods and other than human beings.
Thank you. I'm a Guyana, Timirandosia, Guyana Njuna, Chalaka, Chakshiram Militam Jina, Tasmai, Shri Gurabi, Mokam Kredbacha, Pandum Bangai, Tingirim, Yet Kripatamahang Bandi, Shri Guru Lina Taram. Namam Vishnu Praya Krishna Pristable to Rishma Bhakti Chari Swami Nitinam, Namam Vishnu Praya Krishna Pristable to Rishma Bhakti Granta Swami Nitinam. Namaste Saraswati Devi, Guru Bhani Pucharina, Nirvisesa, Sunyavari Pashtuta Desha Tarina. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So, previously, when I spoke on the Bhagavatam a couple of weeks ago, we spoke on the verse, text 11, where the self-realized souls, the tattva-vidas, they have described what the absolute truth is. They've described that this absolute truth is advayam, that is non-dual. And they also went on to describe that this non-dual substance is called Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. And Krishna very nicely describes in the 14th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Brahmano hi pratishtaham amritasya vyaya sucha shashvatasya cha dharmasya sukhasya aikantikasya cha, that he gives all these qualities of Brahman. It's amritasya, it is immortal, it is imperishable, and it is also eternal. So these are the qualities of Brahman. And he also explains that he is the basis, Brahmano hi pratishtaham, he is the basis of this impersonal Brahman. So as we described previously, that in the material world, generally if you speak about qualities, you have to have the possessor of the qualities. So the qualities that Krishna describes, or the characteristics that Krishna describes here, are the symptom of something higher, are the qualities of a personality, actually. And then in the 13th chapter of the Gita, I believe, Krishna goes further, describes the Paramatma feature. How does it start? Upadrashta Anumantascha Bharata Bhokta Maheshwaraha Paramatmeti Chapi Ukto Dehismin Purushaparaha. So the key word here is Purushaparaha. Proper translated as enjoyer, but in Sanskrit the word Purusha also means person. So the first thing is that this Bhagavan, or this absolute truth, is also a person, Purusha Paraha, the supreme person. And also, Krishna goes on to describe some of the qualities of this Purusha, that he's Bharata, he's the master, he's Bhokta, he's the supreme enjoyer, and he's also Maheshwara, he's the supreme controller. And then the Bhagavan feature of the Lord is described by Parashara Muni, who is the father of Srila Vyasadeva, describes it very nicely, that the word Bhagavan can be broken down into two parts. You have bhaga and van. And bhaga means opulence. And van means to possess. So bhagavan means one who possesses six opulences. At least primarily six opulences. Anybody know what these six opulences are? Right. So those are the six opulences that Bhagavan possesses. And very in the next chapter, I'm kind of jumping the gun here, in text number, in chapter 3, this Bhagavan is also explained a little further. I think it's now the verse of the month. Ete changsakala pungsa Krishna stu Bhagavan swayam. So this is the word again, Bhagavan. That this Bhagavan is Krishna. And this Krishna is the source of all other incarnations. All other incarnations come from Krishna, who is the supreme Bhagavan. And Lord Brahma very nicely describes also in the first verse of the Brahma Samhita, you know, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadiradir Govinda Sarva Karana. So he describes the qualities of Krishna. You know, he has a transcendental form which is full of eternity, bliss and knowledge. And he is the cause of all causes. He has no other cause. He's the prime mover. So Krishna is the source of all other incarnations. And in text number 23 here, Prabhupada describes three of those incarnations, the Purusha avatars. And Prabhupada describes that these Purusha avatars, or Lord Vishnu, takes these forms of Purusha avatar for different activities in the material world, you know, for the maintenance of the material world, destruction of the material world, and for the creation of the material world. He takes Brahma is empowered in terms of creation of the material world. Now the Bhagavatam, somebody help me with this verse, I haven't recited in a long time. Atra sarga visargascha sthanam poshanam uttayaha manvantare shanukatha nirodha muktir ashrayaha. Thank you. So Bhagavatam deals primarily with 10 subjects. The first one is Sarga, which is the primary creation, which is we'll touch on it also in today's presentation. And then you have the secondary creation, the Visarga, that is done by Lord Brahma. So this is what Prabhupada is talking about here in the purport. Brahma is the secondary creation, just like if you were to go into the kitchen, right, and you were to bake a cake, right? The ingredients are already there. You just take the ingredients and you bake the cake. So that's what Lord Brahma does. All the ingredients of the material world are already there. He just takes all the various ingredients and, you know, creates the material world. So that's the function of Lord Brahma. And we all know the appearance of Lord Brahma, how he appears in the material world. It's described very nicely that in the spiritual world, there's a little dark cloud. There's a dark cloud in the spiritual world. And this dark cloud is called Pradhan. And this Pradhan is the primordial soup. It's the material energy in its undifferentiated form. So everything is there, but it is not fully manifested. So that's called Pradhan. That's the totality of material existence. And then when Mahavishnu casts his glance on this Pradhan, what happens is he injects the time factor into this Pradhan. And when he injects... So when he injects the time factor into this Pradhan, everything begins to cook. Time moves things. So things begin to move. And all the elements in the Pradhan begin to separate. And then the first transformation of Pradhan is Mahatattva. And it also further, you know, transforms like that. And eventually it becomes, you know, this whole material universes. So that's the and then from this material universe, Mahavishnu expands himself. He enters into the universes and then he becomes Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. So he becomes the soul of each and every universe. And we all know from Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, from his navel, sprouts a lotus flower. And in this lotus flower, Lord Brahma is born. And, you know, he creates all these material universes. And then, Mahavishnu, or Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, the soul of the universe. And remember, previously Prabhupada, I forget which verse it is, Prabhupada describes two types of yogis. Remember? The Garbha yogis and the normal yogis. In other words, the yogis that meditate on the super soul in the heart and the Garbha yogis. Now, I explained previously that these Garbha yogis actually meditate on Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, the soul of the universe. Whereas the yogis, as we know them, they meditate on the super soul in each and everyone's heart. So there's two types of these types of yogis. You'll hear about them also as you read in the first canto. So anyway, so Garbhodakshaya Vishnu enters into the universes. Mahavishnu enters into the universes, becomes the soul of the universes. And then Garbhodakshaya Vishnu expands himself into Shirodakshaya Vishnu. Shirodakshaya Vishnu has his own planet surrounded by the milk ocean. And it's described there in that whenever there's trouble in the material world, the demigods usually go to Lord Brahma to try and solve the situation. And then Lord Brahma will, along with the demigods, go to the milk ocean and they would meditate and chant the Purusha Shukta, and then Lord Vishnu will manifest himself in Lord Brahma's heart and he would instruct him accordingly. So this is the process. Just as, you know, whenever there's a problem in the ashram, before you even go to Kalakanta Prabhu, you go to the director, right? Amrita Kelly, right? Or if there's something in the kitchen that you need, you go through Jagannath Puri Prabhu, you know? And if the situation is not resolved, then only you go to the temple president. So this is nothing new. This is something that has been in existence for a very long time. The demigods go to Brahma and then they go to Lord Vishnu, and ultimately Lord Vishnu instructs them what to do. So Lord Vishnu also enters into the heart of each and every living entity, and he becomes the super soul of each and every living entity. Now, so that we've discussed a little bit about Lord Brahma. Last week or the week before, Ananda Mataji described described a little bit about the situation of Sadha Shiva, the pure Shiva, the original Shiva. His position is a very interesting position. It's described that glance that Mahavishnu casts on the Pradhan. That glance is Sadha Shiva. That's Shiva. So you can understand that he's not a Jiva, and at the same time he's not Mahavishnu. He's on his own special category, like that. So he has his own special planet where he, just outside of the material universes, you know, his planet is between the material universes and the spiritual universes, just in between. Now it's described that Lord Shiva enters into the material world through the agency of Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma became very angry at the Kumaras because he had instructed them to go forth and multiply. And they told him, no, no deal, Jose. No can do. He became very upset. And in his anger, Lord Shiva manifested through his eyebrows. So that's the Shiva that's properly speaking about here, that seemingly accepts the mode of ignorance. So it's not the original Sadha Shiva, but it is just an expansion of the Sadha Shiva. So that's the, and he's in charge, as Prabhupada describes here, of the annihilation of the material universes. He does his transcendental dance at the end of creation. So that's Lord Shiva. And also Lord Shiva incarnates or expands himself into 11 Rudra forms in the world. The anger in different forms, like in the ocean, the fire, etc. So there's, you can read this in the Bhagavatam, there's 11 expansions of this Rudra. Alright, so that's Prabhupada described. And then Prabhupada here goes on to describe a little bit about, Prabhupada describes here, or Krishna described, or rather Sutta Goswami describes that All human beings can derive ultimate benefit from Vishnu, the form of the quality of goodness. So out of all these three deities, one derives the ultimate benefit by worshipping Lord Vishnu. Now there's a nice story. There was an assembly of sages, and all of them were discussing, who is the topmost deity? Who is the topmost deity? So this is what the sadhus do when they are together. So somebody was saying, no, it's Shiva. Somebody was saying, no, it's Brahma. No, it's Vishnu. So there were disagreement like that. So they said, okay, the only way to resolve this misunderstanding, or this lack of understanding rather, is if we send Bhrigu to go and find out, because Bhrigu is the topmost, or at least respected sage. So he is the son of Lord Brahma himself. He was born from the mind of Lord Brahma. Yes. So he went, and just to cut the story short, he first went to Lord Brahma, because he's the son of Brahma, he's supposed to show some respect, but he didn't show respect, and Brahma became very upset, and he actually wanted to kill him. So he ran, right? And he ran to Lord Shiva. And just like Shiva came from the forehead of Lord Brahma, he's considered to be the son of Lord Brahma also. So he's actually Bhrigu's brother. So Shiva was very happy to see Bhrigu Muni. And he was about to embrace him. He said, whoa, look at you. I don't want to embrace you, all your filth. How could they call you a sadhu when you're so filthy with skeletons around you and all these different strange living entities around you? Don't even touch me. Don't touch me, dude. So Shiva became very, very upset. And he was actually about to burn Bhrigu to ashes with his sight. Just like he burnt the Cupid. You know the story of Cupid? He tried his thing on Lord Shiva. It didn't quite work out. So anyway, he ran from Lord Shiva, and then he went to the planet of Lord Vishnu. And then Vishnu was lying in the, you know, on Ananta Shesh, and Lakshmi Dev was massaging her feet. And immediately he went there and he kicked Vishnu on the chest. Bam! And Lord Vishnu said, oh, my dear Bhrigu, I'm very, very sorry. I hope you didn't hurt your feet by kicking me, because I know your feet are so very soft. Let me massage them like that. So he could understand, wow, Vishnu's response was a little different. So therefore, Vishnu is the supreme, based on the reactions of all of these. So therefore, Prabhupada is also saying here that, or Sita Goswami, of these three, all human beings can derive ultimate benefit from Vishnu, the form of the quality of goodness. But there's also one thing. Although Lord Vishnu he accepted it very nicely, and he actually massaged the lotus feet of Bhrigu, Lakshmi wasn't happy. She wasn't happy. She took offense. And actually, Prabhupada describes that she cursed all the brahmanas. Said, from now on, all the brahmanas will be poor. So that's why, you know, most of the brahmanas are poor, because of the curse by Lakshmidev. Anyway, so you have, or maybe before we get to this part, we go to text 34. Text 34 is the answer to the third question by the sages. What is the reason that the Lord incarnates in the material world? And the answer is, he performs pastime to reclaim those in the mode of pure goodness. So that's the reason why the Supreme Lord incarnates in the material world. And then Prabhupada describes that there are innumerable material universes. In each and every universe, there are innumerable planets inhabited by different grades of living entities in different modes of nature. The Lord Vishnu incarnates himself in each and every one of them, and in each and every type of living society. He manifests his transcendental pastimes among them just to create the desire to go back to Godhead. So there he also... He comes to reclaim those who are in the mode of pure goodness, but he also comes to create the desire for us to go back to Godhead. Because when we hear about all these wonderful pastimes of Krishna, you know, it creates in us a desire to actually associate and go back to the spiritual world. You know, all these beautiful descriptions of the spiritual world by Lord Brahma in the Brahma Sanhita. Very, very nice. You know, that every walk is a dance. You know, every word is a song like that. It's amazing, right? All right. So, text number 23, Prabhupada describes the different incarnations in a little bit more detail. So, what I did is I have a little... Somebody help me with the... So here we'll look at all the incarnations of Krishna. What's that? Well, it's coming up in 15 minutes. Is it possible to make it larger? No? All right. So, you can't see? You have to eat some carrots. eat more carrots. Carrot juice. Estefania, the devotees are asking for carrot juice in the morning for breakfast. So, Krishna, who is described as the original personality of Godhead, his form is Swayam Rupa. His original form is the cowherd boy in Vrindavan. That's Sri Krishna. So Krishna has two manifestations. You know, you have Swayam Prakash, and this Swayam Prakash is of two types. His own manifestations is of two types. One is Prabhav Prakash and the Vaibhav Prakash. Now the Prabhav Prakash are those expansions of Krishna that are Krishna himself, just like in the Rasa Leela. You know, when Krishna was dancing with the gopis, Krishna was actually expanded himself into thousands and thousands of forms so that he could dance with the gopis. So it was Krishna, the same Krishna. And just like in Dwaraka also, Krishna married 16,108 wives. And he expanded himself into 16,108 expansions. There's a pastime where Narad Muni came to visit Krishna in Dwaraka. He was actually given the power to see all the 16,108 palaces at the same time. And he was amazed. In one palace, Krishna was joking with his wife. In another one, he was meditating on himself. In another one, he was playing with his kids. And so, Lord, you know, Narad Muni was kind of bewildered when he saw all these pastimes that Krishna was performing. So that's the Prabhav Prakash. Prabhav means the same mood, the same kind of mood, the same temperament. That's the Prabhav Prakash. And the Vaibhav Prakash is Krishna, but in a different form and in a different mood. So this is, and the first expansion is Lord Brahma. So Brahma is none other than Krishna himself. Sorry, Brahma. So Balaram is the first expansion of Lord Krishna. He's none other than Krishna, but he has a different mood and a different color. He's a little whitish in color, and he's also has a different mood. He's a little fiery mood than Krishna. You don't mess with Balaram. I'll just squeeze in this one little pastime that I had from Jananivas Prabhu. That, you know, we have a temple in Mayapur, and we acquired this Jagannath temple. So the devotees before it was fully developed, they used to cook at the main temple and take the boga to the Jagannath temple to go offer it to Jagannath. And one day the pujari was late. He used to ride a bicycle. He was late. And then he says the next thing he remembers, he was waking up from the ground, you know, and he had like a big bump on his head. And he said he remembers, you know, as he was falling, he remembers the form of Lord Balaram telling him, "Why are you late? I'm hungry." And bang, with his club on the devotee's head. Because he was late. So that's Balaram. He has a little fiery mood. He's feisty. So that's Balaram, Vaibhava Prakash, a different mood. Can we scroll down a little bit? And then from Lord Balaram come all these other expansions. All other expansions come from Balaram. The Chatur Vyuha, the expansions that Prabhupada is speaking about here, Sankarshan, Aniruddha, etc. They also come from Balaram. So you are from Balaram. You have also the Vilash, the Vilash Rupas. These are the four-armed Vishnu forms expanded in Vaikuntha. All these forms, all the deities of the Vaikuntha planets are coming from Lord Brahma himself. I don't know what's up with Balaram, with Brahma today. So you'll read about this in detail in the next, in the coming chapters. You'll probably zoom in a little bit more and discuss in detail. So those are the Vilas Rupas, the four-armed Vishnu forms. And there's like, if you're interested in reading about these, you'll find them in the 16th chapter of the Madhya Leela. Sanatana Goswami, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's discussions with Sanatana Goswami. It's a long chapter. It's full of nectar. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes all these expansions in detail. So if you're interested in that, you can read in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Can you scroll down a little bit? Is there anything? Yeah, and then from the Vilas Rupas, all the Vishnu incarnations have different kind of moods also. Anyway, we won't discuss that into detail. Let's go to the other, the Swangsa. The Swangsa are also expansions of Lord Balaram, and there's like six. We have the Leela avatars. Leela avatars are those avatars that perform pastimes of the Lord. And you'll read the end of the next chapter. They are unlimited, just as the waves of the ocean. And examples of those are like Matsya, Kurma, Ramachandra, Nrsinga, Vamana, Varahadev. You'll read this in the next chapter. And then you have the Purusha avatar. We just described them now when we were describing text number 23. The Purusha avatar, Karana Rakshaya Vishnu. Karana means the causal, the original Vishnu, and Garbhoda Rakshaya Vishnu, the second expansion, and then Kshiroda Rakshaya Vishnu, the Paramatma. And then you have the Guna avatar. The Guna avatars are those they descend from the Lord, and they are in charge of the Guna of the three Gunas, as we've been also been describing. You have Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. Brahma is in charge of creation. Vishnu is in charge of maintenance, and Shiva is in charge of destruction. And there's a reason why Vishnu is in charge of maintenance. It's very easy to start something, isn't it? Starting a project is a very, very easy thing, right? To start your PhD is easy. You just choose whatever field you want, right? And then to stop, it's easy also. Oh, to hell with my PhD. It's difficult. I'm not going to do it, right? So it's easy to... It's easy to create something and to destroy something, but to maintain, it's difficult, right? Just to actually work hard to get your PhD or your undergraduate, it's very, very hard. So because maintenance is a very, very difficult job, Vishnu himself comes and takes over and performs the service of maintenance. So those are the Guna avatar. The Shakta Vesha avatars are those entities that are empowered by the Lord. Can you scroll down a little bit? And there's quite a few. The four Kumaras, Narada is also, he was born from the intelligence of Lord Brahma. So he's in a special position. Most of Lord Brahma's sons were born from Lord Brahma's mind, but Narada was born from Brahma's intelligence. So he's in a special category. And Brahma is also Ananta, Shesha, Prithu, Parashuram. And I remember Kadamakanana Maharaj saying that there was a verse in some obscure Purana that describes Srila Prabhupada as an Shaktya Vesha avatar. I don't know. I can't quote that one. Like I said, I heard from Kadamakanana Swami. From some obscure Purana. So that's what I heard. So don't quote me on that one. So those are the avatars, and these avatars can also expand as vibhutis. In the 10th chapter and 7th chapter, is it 7th chapter? All those vibhutis also among the demigods, Indra, among the Vasus, Amagni, etc. And then you have the Manvantara avatars, Manu avatars. I think yesterday the devotee in Alachua gave a very, very nice class. I actually thoroughly enjoyed his class. It was pretty, very very scientific, very logical, and straight from the Shastra. And then there he describes a little bit more about the Manvantars. He described it in a in a kalpa, or in a day of Lord Brahma, which is 1,000 Mahayugas. And Mahayuga is made up of the four yuga cycles. So in a kalpa, there is 71 manvantars. So Manu avatars, manvantar means a Manu avatar. He's in charge of the overseeing the activities of humankind. You'll also study about that in the next coming chapter. And then finally, you have the yuga avatars. They descend to establish religion of the age. You have the in Satya Yuga, the Lord appeared in a white form. In Treta Yuga, in red form. Dwapara Yuga, blackish form. That's Krishna. And in Kali Yuga, yellowish form. And that's Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yes, Sinha.
What were the white and red forms?
I think that's the swan incarnation. Hamsa. The red, not Kamsa. Hamsa. Huh? Yeah, at the end. But his question is, who comes Satya? And Satya is Hamsa. Hamsa, yeah. Yeah, the swan. Red incarnation, it said that it's the boar incarnation. I'm not sure so about that.
It's Yajna also.
Yajna also?
In 11th canto, there's a list of names of incarnations. So there are few names.
Do you know for sure? Yeah, I'm not, because there's a debate about that, about the red incarnation of the Lord. So that's why I'm not saying for sure. But generally they say that it's Varaha also.
So Kali is not a yuga avatar?
He's not a yuga avatar, no. Yeah, he's also one of the incarnations who's...
Oh, right.
Right. But in that, he doesn't really give who specifically is the red.
But he gives like many like, many arguments and like, there's also like this parrot-like, which is, I think, green, and that is Lord Ram.
Yeah, he's not very, the only incarnation he's specific about in that description is Krishna is red. I mean, Krishna in his blackish form. He came in other ages. Yeah. So anyway, that's that. Yes? Yeah, because Shakta Avatar means somebody who's empowered. Yeah, it's generally a jiva. Yeah. Manvantara are also jivas. They are manus, special personalities given the, like the Manu Sanhita, for example, comes from the manus. Just like Gopal was telling us that in the Manu Sanhita, if you're a businessman, you are only allowed to lie how many times? 33 times. That's it. Anything more than that, you're liable for punishment.
Is that per hour?
So, 4 lines in an hour, if you have 8 hour job.
So that's, all these rules and regulations are given in the Manu Sanhita. Olivia? You mean the Dwapara Yuga, the blackish form? That's Krishna himself, yeah. Because he's, they say blackish. Once Prabhupada was discussing with some personalities, I think during a conversation, so there were some African-American devotees there, or personalities. I don't know if they were devotees or not. So Prabhupada was saying, Krishna is black. And I was, yes. Yes, Krishna is black. And Prabhupada said, not black like you, though. So Krishna is bluish blackish, it's just some poetic justice. They're bluish blackish, blue, black, So when we get to the spiritual world, we'll know for sure what his color is. But at least we have an idea of what his color is based on the description.
That form is identical, like physically, to the Krishna?
That's the original Krishna form. Although it's a little detail, but it also Krishna comes in his original form in only once in a while. Usually Vishnu appears in that form, but that's a detail. You'll discuss it as you you know, as you read further and you can question Kalakanta Prabhu further. So, because I'm afraid we already ran out of time.
Why is Krishna sometimes in temple in place of Krishna's wife?
Why is what?
Why is Krishna sometimes in the temple the Riti is white and
marble is white.
because the marble is white. I don't know. Usually, traditionally, Krishna is bluish. He's black. He's manifested in a blue form or blackish form traditionally. I don't know. Maybe it's because, like you said, the marble is white. I don't know. I don't have an answer for that. Kalakanta Prabhu, do you know why the marble is white instead of black usually? Is it? Okay. Why, we don't know. I don't have an answer for that. I can look it up though and then let you know. Okay. So you got a job, right? Any other questions? All right. Yeah, you have to, when you read the end of the next chapter, Krishna will describe that there's innumerable incarnations that you know they can't mention. But some of these avatars are also mentioned in other Puranas. Yeah.
No, I have the list of the incarnations in the Yuga.
Okay. You want to read?
Verse 23 and 26.
23 and 26. In there's no 23 here. In Satya Yuga, the Lord is glorified by the names Hamsa, Suparna, Vaikuntha, Dharma, Yogeshwar, Amala, Ishvara, Purusha, Abhyakta, and Paramatma. Okay, so there you have Hamsa for the Satya Yuga, the whitish form. And then? Which one? All of them? 26. In Tetra Yuga, the Lord is glorified by the names Vishnu, Yajna, Krishnigarbha, Sarvadev, Ukrama, etc. Anyway, you can read it on your own time because you don't really have so much time. But what I wanted to say is that thank you for listening, for lending me your ears. You can have them back. But it was my pleasure to having been here in Gainesville. Very nice devotees that I've met, and I'm happy that I have met all of you. And I think I have, I've become a better person just by being in your association. And I think that this Krishna House is a very wonderful facility that Kalakanta Prabhu is arranged for everybody. So please take advantage of it and try and make as much spiritual progress as you can. And I'm available on email and also on Facebook for those that want to keep in touch with me. And if we don't see each other in this life, then definitely in the next life. And hopefully, eventually, in the forest of Vraj. Hare Krishna. I have to run now. I have to get ready. I have to go. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.